Anyway, here's my friend that's married, has children, has a church over in Prince of Wales, and he's about to just dazzle you and bless you and put a charge on you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. And can I just say that I am, and I mean this not in a trite way, in other words, just to say it, to be saying it, but I am honored that, Nancy, that you would ask me back, okay, that you would ask me at all, and I count it a privilege, not just an honor to be asked here specifically for this conference, but to be asked by God, to be commissioned by God to speak for Him. What an honor. What a privilege it is to be God's vessel. There's no grander thing in all of life. Absolutely nothing is more grand in life than to be God's vessel. Have you discovered that? Yes. Amen? Well, listen, my wife, this is 2 years in a row, she couldn't be here. Her name is Debbie, by the way. So when you said, is Debbie here? I'm going, which one? So she is in Salem, Oregon right now. Her mother, my mother-in-law, just had hip replacement surgery a couple days ago. And Debbie, my wife, my good wife, good mother as well, good daughter, is the only daughter. And so she is helping her mother, not just through this time of recovery, but her time of rehabilitation. So she will go home with her, spend several weeks. I'm not going to have her for probably 5 or 6 weeks. It's just, pray for me. She's also a good cook, as you can tell. I'm not kidding you. I would blame her, but that would not be right because I don't have to put it in my mouth. Amen? Well, anyway, I do mean that with all my heart. Good morning. It's a good time this morning. Amen? Sarah, where is she? Oh, she's a good friend, yes. I just, you know, the worship this morning, of part of that, when I said it was confirmation, the word when you showed the picture was confirmation. Confirmation for me this morning and what the Lord has laid in my heart. And by the way, it's not just dot, dot, dot. If you'll read down further, Nancy, it's good. We overcome evil with, say it. Good. Good. Good job. You're going to hear that word a lot. That is thematic for this morning. I believe it's thematic actually for the conference. If I can just say that, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a war cry, but it's a good war cry. And so there's lots to this word good. For example, many of you perhaps have seen, speaking of war cry, perhaps some of you have seen the movie, I'd be good if I don't get close to that speaker. You have seen the movie War Room. Anybody seen the movie yet? I haven't, but I heard that it's good. I hope it's good, but when we say the word good, can you agree with this, that it's a relative term for some of us? In other words, I'll have someone tell me, oh, you should see that movie, it was good. And then I go watch it and I go, what are they thinking? Have you ever done that? That's not a good movie, or at least I didn't think so. Or perhaps we think about the last thing we put in our mouth, and you can put that up there, Lisa, there's four pictures there that, anyway, Good and Plenty. I like Good and Plenty. It's one of my wife's favorite candies. But listen, if you don't like licorice, it won't be good and you will have plenty left over, okay? And, you know, the old slogan for Campbell's soup was this, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Do you remember this old one? Good. Well, some of it's only good if you ask me for cooking, to just eat out of the pot. I would say, nah. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Nah. Yeah. But it's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Good can be in the mouth or the perception of the beholder. There's an apple up there. So it must have been good because someone took it right to the core. Anyway, I could, you know, use all these examples. But listen, if we're talking about a war cry, which we are, amen? You've already had several workshops, and if I understand this correctly, all of them are born out of Romans 12. Verses out of Romans 12, and I wish I could have heard them all. I'm going to get to hear one this afternoon, or I think just one, because I have to go on the ferry. But all of those are thematic out of Romans 12, and I believe there's a thread in all of them, amen? They will all tie together. But in this one, in the final verse, and I am going to really hone in on this final verse, if you will, it's the period at the end of the chapter, that we are to overcome evil with good. Well, what does that mean? What good is Paul talking about? Is it just any kind of good? Is it the good from a human perspective? Is it from the good that I know? Is it from just that kind of good? Because I know some good, amen. I know to be good, but I'm not always good. How about you? Come on. I'd like to put on the persona that I am, but I'm not always good. So it is a good thing, do you agree, that we would look at what Jesus has to say about this term, good. He says some remarkable things. One of the places, and we're going to look at two scriptures in Luke, he says some things to his listeners, his disciples, and others. And the first one goes like this. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" And I know I'm really skipping ahead here, at least, so it's my fault. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Did he mean that? Do you think Jesus said something he doesn't mean? I mean, that's an incredible statement. Is Jesus good? Yes. Okay. Is the Holy Spirit good? This is a Holy Spirit conference, right? The Holy Spirit's good. We've discovered that by experience. Not just because someone told us, but because we have tasted for ourselves and experienced that the Holy Spirit is good. And then another place in Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things. This is Jesus' teaching. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Amen. So we need to ask ourselves, I believe we do, very, very honestly, God, what is the good? What is the good I'm supposed to overcome evil with? Because when I first look at that at face value, that statement, I go, are you kidding? I'm supposed to overcome evil with good? Think about the evil in the world, people. Think about the evil that's around us that is visible to us. You know what I mean? It's some of it's incredibly sickening. Am I right? We live in harsh times. We live in the end times, I believe. And this is a serious, serious, incredibly important scripture for us not just to know theologically, but to live out. Amen? So I'm going to tell you something. I have, and I better mention this before I forget, but I have these handouts, and unfortunately, there's only 20 of them. So if you're a couple here this morning, share, please. For those of you who have already spoken in workshops or will, in other words, I have your email. That's because Debbie Grimes, you sent it to me. And I will go reply all. And you will get this copy of my notes electronically. Amen? Amen. Okay. So if there's the rest of you and you would like them, you are welcome to them. Yeah, please. Yeah. Can I, okay. You're gonna make copies?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't want you to miss this. But go ahead. Say good girl. Thank you, Danielle. Good girl. Where was I going with this? Yeah. So it isn't just about what we do or what we say. God wants us to be good through and through. And he has equipped us to become good through and through. Jesus was good. Say it with me, through and through.
Through and through.
What do I mean by that? Nancy sent me, and by the way, when you get these notes, I take very seriously these assignments, Nancy. I don't know how the rest of you got your assignments, probably the same as I, but when I got it, actually Debbie forwarded it to me, but am I right? It comes from you originally, Nancy? Can I just have a interchange here? Did those words come from you, just give me some direction and what have you? Huh? Yeah. Okay. So I take it seriously. I actually, for your reading pleasure, I actually copied it. The instructions verbatim. And I put them on the first page. So you will have her instructions to me on the first page. Amen? You think this is a good thing to do? All right. Hallelujah. Well, let me just read to you one of the things that was said. And by the way, this is our key passage because I never shared it with you yet. And it was slide number 3. So sorry about that, Lisa, if you'll go back to that one. But it's Romans 12, 19 to 21. It's the last three verses of chapter 12. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. And then this last verse, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's our war cry theme verse. By the way, can I share one more thing about confirmation? I'm so excited about this. I have a vocational job that I don't just pastor. I work in the woods. I am a forest engineer by training. Went to Oregon State. Got a degree in forest engineering a long time ago. Won't even tell you the year. But anyway, so that's what brought me to Alaska in the first place. And I happen to work for a company still doing this work. And it puts me in the woods and in the timber, if not most of the days of the week, most of the time. Believe it or not, Nancy, this last few days, in fact, day before yesterday, I was at Cleveland Peninsula out here, about 1,000 feet up in the timber, mid-morning, thunder and lightning, and hail. Hail so fierce, it was coming off my hard hat. In fact, my partner was working with me. He says, "If I wish I had a video of this." It was bouncing off of our hard hats. It was boing, and it covered the ground completely in white. This is under the trees, not just out in the open. But I thought, thunder and lightning. And of all the years, I haven't seen it for a long time. And then with the hail, and then to hear about thunder and lightning this morning. I don't know why I'm sharing this with you. Sometimes we don't know why. I was privileged to be ordained here this last spring. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? I mean, say what you want about that. It was a very honorable thing. This happened in Anchorage in April. And I was given a Bible. And all my presbyters and what have you, and our superintendent of the Assemblies of God signed it, put scriptures in it, which I took to heart. I love this thing, but it's brand new, and so I'm trying to get used to it. It's a new King James Version, so I'm trying to get used to it. And so I am normally using it now, but get this, for whatever reason, I brought my NIV, my older Bible, which I used to use all the time, and I can't really tell you why. I didn't really plan to. But I know why now. When I was here let's just say I lived here for over 20 years, but when I was here about 5 years ago, one of the young people in our church, Jamie Mitchell, you know Jamie, she paints also. I asked her and one other young lady to paint something on my Bible cover. Now, I'm not showing it to you yet. This is what one of the other ladies painted, and of course, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and there's a key on there, and it's kind of hard to tell from where you're at. But Jamie painted, it says fearless. And so many, they're tidbits, but they're just little words, little clues. And I take those often as confirmation. I've heard from him. I've heard from him and what he has put on my spirit to share with you this morning. Amen? Is that a good thing? Amen. Anyway, I want to actually read this because this was part of, Nancy, your instructions to me. As we continue in our training, which we're doing, amen, all of us, not just at the conference, but in life, We study and teach the Bible for the purpose of translating theology into activity, right? Our lifestyle. Redemptive rest is an active term. We are not only to learn the theology of justification and sanctification, but we are to live it too. That's where the war cry comes into play. So my instruction was this: please bring forth a practical application. Practical, say that. On how to live the Christian life with understanding of how believers are not to seek personal revenge. Amen? Rather, three things. Allow God to make things right. Verse 19. To treat our enemy with respect. Verse 20. And to not be overpowered by evil. Verse 21. This is a fictitious example, but it happens in life. On what I'm about to tell you. And here's the other piece of tidbit that was confirmation. It involves daisies, which is in my story. A young 8-year-old girl. She's the only girl in her family. Her mother is single, but she has met a man that she has fallen in love with. And they have just recently been married, but they haven't known each other a whole long time. But she is growing fonder and fonder of this man. And so the mother normally would pick up the young girl after school, but this day that's not going to work for some reason. And the man happens to have the day off, and so he agrees to pick her up after school. So he does that in his good nature. He does that, picks her up, and he says, "Honey, would you like to go have an ice cream?" And she goes, "Of course. Yes, let's go get an ice cream." And so they'll go get an ice cream. I guess we have McDonald's here, so I just assume it's McDonald's. So they get the ice cream, and she's got the ice cream cone, and he's got his, and they're driving on the way home, and she sees some daisies growing naturally. And by the way, I've seen them. You have too. I've seen big groves of them. They'll grow naturally. So, hey, can I stop and pick the daisies? Can I stop and pick the daisies for Mom so when she comes home, I'll have them in my hand? And he goes, "Sure." So they stop, and she gets out, and she picks the daisies. She gets a whole bunch of them. She gets in the car, and she's all excited. And so they get home. She's got the daisies. She puts them in a jar of water and keeps them intact. And she's finished her ice cream by now. The new stepdad says, "Well, do you have any homework?" And she goes, "Well, a little." I don't know how much homework you can give a third grader, but nonetheless, supposedly she has homework. "Well, can I help you with it?" "Well, sure. What is it you need help with?" "Well, it's math." And so being the good stepdad that he is, he sits down with her and they begin to look over this homework. And pretty soon he is sitting next to her. Pretty soon, his arm is around her, and in the end, he molests the stepdaughter. I'm sorry to pull that on you this morning, but here's the thing. Getting the ice cream, that was a good thing. Stopping to get the daisies, that's a good thing. Amen? Those are good acts. Helping with the homework, good thing. Motivated by evil. Motivated by evil within. So we need to ask ourselves this morning and perhaps not look so much on the outward appearance of things as on the inner. Where's the greatest evil to overcome? We may say to ourselves, and by the way, I'm taking tidbits out of my notes. You're going to find a whole lot more when you get those handouts, okay? Amen? There's more to take home and all that. But here's the crux of it. When we examine ourselves, see, we may tend to think it's out here that we're supposed to overcome. When I look at this scripture face value, that's what I first think of. I don't know about you. When I first think of it, to overcome evil with good, I'm thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be this spiritual vigilante. You know what I'm saying? You know? Shout the war cry. This is good. This is good. Because we fight a spiritual battle. Amen? We are in a war. We are in a war. The weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I'd like to think sometimes, in fact, when I first looked at that scripture and was first learning, I'm thinking, hey, that has to do with, you know what I mean? I take the sword of the Spirit, amen, part of the armor of God. And so it's like we're in this offensive battle and in this offensive war, and yes, we are.
But there's a double-edged sword that isn't just supposed to come out of my mouth when in terms of the Word of God and when I'm overcoming, amen, overcoming evil. Perhaps the evil to overcome is more on the inside than it is on the outside. That's not a friendly word in a sense, but it is. But it is. Can we look at some more scripture now? And I'm going to go somewhere with this because I think you're going to have more of a smile on your face. I really do. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. And that may have seemed harsh, but I don't mean to be harsh, but or sound harsh. But this is going towards a good thing. Anyway, it's good. We're looking at good solely from the Lord's perspective. Amen? Here's the question. Is it possible? Is it possible for the believer to not just do good, but to be good? Didn't Jesus say, there's only one that's good? Didn't he say that? And that's God. Okay. I don't normally do this, but sometimes I think it's beneficial this time. This is slide 5, Lisa, but good in the Greek, which is agathos, it means to be curative. So there's curing involved, remedy. It's remedial, it's excellent, it's distinguished. Say that, distinguished. It's distinguished, it's upright, honorable, and of a good nature. From this root word, we directly comes what we find as part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the word goodness. Remember, Galatians 5:22, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. There's probably another faithfulness is in there. Amen. So goodness is in there. And from this root word good or agathos comes the Greek word agathosema, an uprightness of heart and life, goodness. And I would like to think that I'm going there in my life. Amen. That you're going there in your life. I may not be there yet, but I'm on my way there. I'm partway there. I'm on that journey in that direction. Amen? I'm not going this way. I'm going this way. I'm becoming more and more good on the inside because I have who? The Holy Spirit. This is a Holy Spirit conference. And I don't just need an encounter. I need my life to be an encounter with Him. A lifelong encounter. I'm encountering Him every day. He is changing me every day. He is making me more like Jesus every day. At this moment, He's making me more like Jesus. He is filling me with His goodness on all those other things every day. As I fellowship with Him, He is building that goodness, not just on the outside coming in, but on the inside coming out. Hallelujah. I have no hope. You don't either. Of overcoming evil on my own. We try. Friends, we try. You know what I mean? We'll try to do it in our own strength. With our own wit. With our own intelligence. With our own self-help books. This and that. It isn't going to happen. The only good you're going to overcome evil with is God's good. Is the Holy Spirit good. He wants to build in you such a goodness. Hear the word. And I don't know what your perspective on goodness is. But the Holy Spirit is so good. How much time do I have, Nancy? I gotta check out of my hotel, though. So anyway, we'll worry about that when the time comes. I got lots of time, though. The Holy Spirit is a good spirit. Good from not just my perspective, from His own. Out of God's good character flows His goodness. The Holy Spirit's a good spirit. Psalms 143:10, if you want to look at a scripture that says that. He's good through and through. He's good and plenty, enough of a deposit to guarantee what is to come. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:14, the Bible tells us He is that good deposit. We don't have the full measure yet. One day we will. Amen? This is why the Bible says not just be filled with the Spirit once, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit today. Be filled with the Spirit tomorrow. Be filled with the Spirit all the time. Amen? It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be filled with the Spirit. Ask Him to fill you every day. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And then let it come out. Amen? In goodness. Let it be demonstrated in goodness. He fills us with streams of living water that are good to the last drop. I know I didn't talk about Maxwell House. You know what? I don't even like Maxwell House. I like Refiner's Roast. Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, that was a good one. Vicky, woohoo! It is a good place. But that's their slogan. But Jesus, Holy Spirit, good. If I can put it literally, figuratively, to the last drop. Yeah, it never runs out. He fills us with streams of living water that never run dry. No one will argue that he is absolutely good to the very core. Hallelujah. Not just on the surface, but deep down to the very core. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. And figuratively speaking, he is good. You agree?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is good because God is good. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not an it. It's a him. He, God, lives in you. He, God, lives in us. He wants to display his goodness through you. I know I'm talking silly. There's another scripture in Ephesians that Paul brings out. And I want you to look at this. I want you to look at it, what the words say. I marveled over this and struggled with it for a long, long time years ago. God, what are you saying with this scripture? It seems to be in a funny place. And I want you to look later in the context. By the way, you always know that the context of scripture is important. Amen? Can I just throw that at you? It's dangerous for us to just take a scripture and just isolate it by itself and build a theology on it. Scripture helps describe, define, support, uphold other scripture. Amen? And such is the case here. But Ephesians 5:9 says, here, this is an interesting one, not the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the light. Amen? Come into the light as he is in the light. You are the light of the world, right? Ooh. You are the light of the world. Jesus said that to his listeners, you and me, we're the light of the world. But he says, for the fruit of the light, in other words, if we can talk about fruit of the Spirit here, fruit of the light, fruit is what comes out, amen? It's what comes out on the branch. It becomes visible. You don't know fruits in that tree until it comes out to be seen, amen? So the fruit of the light, look at it, consists in all goodness. Say that with me. It consists in all goodness, all goodness, not just some, not just a little, all. It consists in all goodness and, of course, righteousness and truth. I think that's important. So remember that, all goodness. Let's be honest. One of the scriptures we read talked about avenging ourselves. There's a real tendency for us to do this. I think if we're honest, though, to have the temptation even to avenge ourselves is a work of the flesh. It's not a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the sinful nature. And you know what? I have avenged myself in times past, regretted it. You probably have too. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do what? You're right, we're supposed to love. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. Again, what does this mean? It's a work of the flesh because it's motivated by self-centeredness. Someone offended us or hurt us, and therefore they must hurt also. Dare we say that the tendency or the urge to avenge ourselves is a lust? You want to say that with me? Ooh, that's an awful word. It's a lust of the flesh. It most certainly is, and it's not a work of the Spirit. We're admonished here again by Paul to walk in the Spirit, and the result is that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he does that in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, which is interestingly enough, only a few verses before it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, if we walk in the Spirit, if, amen? If we walk in the Spirit, get this, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, including taking vengeance. So, if I take vengeance on someone in any form, at any degree, I have walked in the flesh. I have not, at that moment, walked in the Spirit. Yeah. You say, that's putting it in simple terms. It is, but it's not simple to do, is it? Now, back to our story. Not only the daughter, but the mother, the family, the school teachers, all of those people who would have the opportunity to not take vengeance. Amen? Oh, we would want to. And it's not to say that we don't want justice served, but It's only in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in me that I can overcome evil with good. Amen? The good I overcome with is not a good that originated with me. It's not one that I invented. It's not one that I conjured up. It's God's idea. In fact, we can only overcome because Jesus did. Because Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit himself. He overcame. And we simply cannot overcome without the Holy Spirit encounter. I said that or no. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You're that? You will have trouble. And maybe you discovered that. Come on, let me see your hands. This is a workshop that's interactive. By the way, some of you will have trouble still. And you will have to. Yeah, you will be put in that crossroad where you have to overcome evil with good. I have overcome the world. The apostle affirms it, and that's John, who actually wrote that in his gospel, but he says it himself in 1 John 5:4. If for everyone born of God, how many? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Get your Bibles with you? Okay. Galatians 2:20. Some of you know this verse. Another mysterious verse in a way. Paul goes so boldly, I am crucified with Christ. Yes. What does that mean? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, not by the flesh, but in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, the goodness of God displayed that he would live in a sinner such as I and such as you. Ooh. But that even so, his goodness can be seen. Amen. Look at Romans 7 with me. Romans 7. And by the way, since this is in Romans, here again, I said put things in context. We're looking at Romans 12 during the conference, right? Amen? Really hard, am I right, Nancy? All the workshops, Romans 12. By the way, those of you who have already done your... Can I see hands of those who have done workshops? Awesome. Which, can I just ask you what scriptures you had? Awesome. Yes, Patty? Oh, you haven't? Oh, praise God. Do I get to hear it? Oh, okay. Debbie?
Romans 12:1.
Oh, man. That's foundational for what we're talking about here. unless I present myself as a living sacrifice, forget about the rest of this. You hear me? You know, do the rest of it. Try to love someone. Try to do it with integrity. Unless you present yourself a living sacrifice, well, I haven't started the process of dying to self. Because I need to die to self. Remember, I need to be crucified with Christ and come to that place where nevertheless I live. And Christ lives in me, because if he lives in me and I cease to live in me, then he's seen. His goodness is seen. Anyway, Romans 7. Are you there? If you got your Bibles, okay. This great man, Paul the Apostle, so honest with us, writes this to us. And again, this is foundational. He says this before we get to Romans 12. So would you agree this is important? It's good to know what he says earlier in the letter. And by the way, the Bible didn't come with chapters and verses. No. You know? Just saying. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. How many of you agree with that? We do things, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Say that with me. The law is good.
The law is good.
As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's sin living in me. None of us would want to admit that. Oh, especially as believers. Amen? Because he's forgiven us of our sin. I don't know that that's what Paul's saying here. I know that nothing good lives in me. You hear that, verse 18? I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. He's making it clear that's what he's talking about. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, ooh, and here's this awful word, the evil. I do not want to do this, I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living. Hear that word, sin living? We need to put the sin to death in us, amen? The help of the Holy Spirit, by the way, again, we have no hope. No hope of this happening without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He's helping us put to death sin in our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. He's not just forgiven us of us, cleansed us of it, but as an action, as an activity in our life, you know, where it's put out on display, yeah, that's being put to death too. Hallelujah. Not just the written code against us, but the activity of it. You hear the difference? And then he ends with this. So I find this law at work when I want to do good. Evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. And that's us, folks. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? We all have the same answer. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. It's the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ this happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyway, all those other workshops and verses out of Romans, and I mentioned that in this handout you're going to get, Romans 12:1 and 2, verse 9, verse 14, verse 17, and verse 18, all mention good or evil or both. And then Paul ends his letter, Romans 16:19. You don't have to look at it now, but it's a final note. It's like, I'm saying it again. This is so important. Let me ask you this. Do we have a desire? Do you have a desire? Do you have a desire to have God show you his glory? I know it seems like I'm changing the tune. It seems like I'm switching subjects. Are you ready? How many of you would like to see God's glory? How many of you have seen his glory, you think, already? Some of it. Okay. Do you want to see God's glory? Can you put that first half of that part of Exodus up there, Lisa. By the way, can we give Lisa, oh, Paul. Oh, hey. Good on you, Paul. Can you give a good applause for these folks who helped? Yeah. You guys do good work. You're appreciated. So here I am talking to Lisa and Paul's doing it. Good job, Bob. Can you guys all see that? Are you familiar with the passage in Exodus? Listen. Go and read the whole thing on your own, if you would, before you forget this. I hope you never forget this. They're already at the Mount Sinai, at the base of, remember, they're camped there. This is in the wilderness, amen? Get this, Moses has already been given the first set of Ten Commandments, and when he came off the mountain, he broke them. Because he got what? He got angry with what he saw. And we are not unlike that in that we see things we will get angry with. Oh, and we'll throw the law at whatever we see happening. Maybe we won't say it out loud, but you know what I mean? It's kind of the motivation. God just told me this, and there I come down, and you guys are already messing up. Anyway, so he's, you know, and of course there was results of that. There was havoc. You remember? Some things happened in the camp, and vengeance was God's. And you know what? He did repay. Thank God he doesn't do that every time, amen, folks? We don't get what we deserve. So why do we think the world should? You know what I mean? Why do we think that guy that molested that daughter should get what he deserves? Well, from a human standpoint, he should. Maybe he will. Listen, I know this is close to home. It is not unlikely that someone here has either been the victim or been somehow connected. Nancy, you've already said it wasn't a stepdad, but it was a mother. Amen? All right, let's back to the story. Moses, he's in the tent of meeting. Remember, Moses used to go visit and speak with God. The cloud would come down and he would speak with him, and as it were, face to face in the tent of meeting. In fact, the Israelites were so afraid, they would, listen, they'd come out and watch. They'd stand at the entrance of their tents, and they would watch to see what would happen. And they would wait to see when Moses would come out. It's interesting that Joshua kind of stood by Moses' side this whole time. Gosh, I wish I could put a bit of mouse in his pocket to see what he said and did. But anyway, but God begins to do some more work in Moses, and he's not done with him. Thank God he's not done with us. Amen? And he says, Moses is wrestling with things. And here's what happens. He goes, God, you've said you're pleased with me. You said you're pleased with me, but you haven't given me anywhere that will go with us or go with me. And God says, well, my spirit's going to go with you. Do you hear that? My spirit's going to go with you. And he says, well, how are we going to know that there's any differentiation between us and the other people in the world? How will we know here's the word, distinction. How will we know the distinction unless you go with us? And God says, I'll go with you. I promise I will. Amen? And he's promises to us too. He'll go with us. He'll go with us by the abiding, indwelling, good, living God in us. The Holy Spirit. Amen? Does that excite you? Or oh, man. That the Holy Spirit would live in me. Oh, I still marvel at that. Anyway, this is what he says. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. And what does he say? Unless, down a little further, unless you go with us. How will they know? Unless you do. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, Let's say that with me. I'll do the very thing you ask. I'll do the... Oh, wow. That'll preach. I'll do the very thing you ask. The next thing Moses says, because I'm pleased with you, because I know you by name. It's important that God knows us by name, amen. It's important to receive Christ as Savior. Hallelujah. Continue fellowship with him. It's not a one-time thing. Oh, I did it. I can go out and do my own thing now. No, oh, no, no, no. There's a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to make us into the holy image of Jesus Christ. He's wanting to purify us, amen? Set us apart for himself as a pure, spotless bride. We're constantly in that work. But anyway, I'm going to do the very thing you've asked. I know you by name. And then Moses says this, now show me your glory. Don't go there yet. Don't go there yet, Paul. Because before we see what God did, I want us to, what would we expect? And by the way, this is going to get interactive. Would you, what would you expect? Someone just tell me, come on. If we ask God to show us his glory, what would you expect?
Amazing.
Something awestruck, that we would be awestruck. His incredible beauty, his incredible majesty, his awesome power. Am I right? Anybody else? What would he show us?
His gentleness.
Oh my goodness. Go to the next slide, Paul, please. You ready? And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness. Oh my goodness. All my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live. And the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my, what's he say? When my glory passes. Oh my goodness. This is God himself, friends. Telling Moses, oh, you want to see my glory? You're going to see goodness. You're going to see the good of God. Good at its culmination. Good at its pinnacle. Now, how that looked, I don't know. But all I know, it was so much glory that Moses couldn't even look at it. And by the way, when he came off the mountain this time, what did it say? His face was radiant. His face was radiant. The people asked him, oh, "What? You better put a veil over your face. You've been in the goodness of God." Friends, I'm convinced it's this goodness. And as much as this vessel can house in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, amen? Not just gentleness and goodness, because it's all those things. It's all those things wrapped together. But the fullness of God, the fullness of God emanating from us, as it were coming out of our pores, oozing out of us. Now, is this a war cry? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to say this one last thing. And again, I've taken kind of tidbits and stuff that's just come to mind mostly. Is that good? Is that okay?
Yes.
As I said, we may think that, you know, there is a double-edged sword. And it comes out of the mouth of God, amen? The book of Revelation says that, in fact, when John's talking about God's word to the churches, he said it was the one who had the double-edged sword in his mouth. It's the word of God, you know, coming out. And like I said, we may picture ourselves as, you know, we're in God's army. And yes, we are. Yes, we are in God's army. I agree. I don't think that's what Paul's saying here. the war that we're to raise a cry against is this war. Mostly. Raise the war cry. God, do your complete work in me. And this last slide that says, he who began a good work in you. What kind of work? A good work. Will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's starting something marvelous in all of us. Some of us are further along than others, but it's a good work. And it's from a good God. He wants to display all of his goodness, not just in us, but if we will open ourselves up, it is that goodness that'll be shown to others. Can I share one last story with you? How many of you read Charles Spurgeon? Anybody still read that guy? Yes. Listen, good stuff. This man started out with a small church in England, ended up, as far as if I, you know, the history is correct, it's Metropolitan Tabernacle. I forget the name of the town he was in, but in England, about 6,000 people. Now, listen, don't just take that. Obviously, he knew the Word of God and he preached it and people came. Someone, a woman in his church, this is the story. Can I share this with you? So like many we know, and I have some ladies in my church who are going through this very same thing. They are saved. When they were married, they weren't though, but after they got married somewhere along the way, they were saved. God is changing them. He's displaying this goodness in them. They are in the process of overcoming evil in their lives with good. But this woman that was in Charles Spurgeon's church, he tells the story like this. His husband was not only unruly, but he was antagonistic, and it was in his wife's face. She was gracious. She was good. But he would often go to the pub, not just by himself, but he would gather his cohorts, his friends, and he would do it on a regular basis. And he would do it just to spite her because, of course, she was trying to witness to her husband. Anyway, the account goes like this. He went out one night just like so many of the others, and he had five or six of his friends, and they were at the pub till wee hours of the morning and rabble-rousing, what have you, and he says this to his friends. He says, my wife, she is so naive. She's such a good cook. She'll do anything I ask her. You know what? Let's do this. Are you guys hungry? Yeah. Yeah, we're hungry. Who knows what they've been up to, but, well, let's go. Let's go home. If she's in bed, no biggie. We'll get her out of bed. We'll have her put the food on the table in front of us, and we'll just see how this goes. I can't imagine she would do such a thing. Well, guess what happened? She did. Not only did she, but she did it with a good attitude. She did it with a smile on her face. In the wee hours of the morning, this guy not only comes home by himself, but with all his friends, cooks the meal, lays it before them, is gracious to them. Would you do such a thing? No, story's not over. It wasn't his expectation. It wasn't his expectation. And so, of course, his friends finally go home. Who knows, it's probably almost dawn. And they've been fed, and of course they got a full stomach now, so that's maybe helping some of the inebriation and what have you, and they're tired, and so they go and get in bed. But the next morning when he does get up, he's the Holy Spirit's at work in him. He's going, why did you do that? He asks his wife, why did you do that? I knew I was being ornery. I didn't deserve that you would do that. And she goes, the Holy Spirit told me, show them the goodness of God. And so I did. I said, God, help me to show them your goodness. this husband got saved. This spoke to his heart. And not only that, eventually several of his friends were saved also because it said the same thing to them. We overcome evil with good. It may not be like we think. Friends, can we ask that the goodness of God would be on display in us? Hallelujah. Good through and through. Good through and through. Well, listen, thank you. Thank you.